What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. This is it. This is the last Wednesday show of the, essentially, the fantasy season, right?
Yep.
It is.
Yeah, this is it, man. It goes by so fast.
Yeah, actually, it is.
It really does.
Next Wednesday is Christmas. The week Wednesday after that is New Year's Day.
Yeah, we've got the stacked holidays coming up next.
Yeah. Yep. So we won't be doing shows. We will still do Monday and Friday shows for the next couple of weeks, but no Wednesday shows, obviously, because of the holidays. So,
yep.
Happy holidays to all. More importantly, happy championship week to those of you who observe.
Congratulations to everyone who got in.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll look at another group of Be Brave or Beware guys for this week. Of course, you guys will dig into it further on Friday with some of the more individual matchups. But we'll take the big picture look at it coming up today. Also, since, you know, not everybody made it to their championship game, we'll do some look-ahead stuff. A group of guys that you might think about in your keeper leagues. So we'll kind of talk about guys and what you might have to give up in terms of a draft pick and whether or not it's going to be worth keeping them at that price. So we'll talk about that and plenty more. But before we do that, we'll go behind the glass as always and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murphy, you're on your way home soon, huh?
Yeah, like you guys were just saying, our last one's the show before the holiday, so I'm getting a red eye tomorrow night after my last day work here, and then I'll be back right before New Year's. So last 2019 fantasy show.
Yeah, with the whole group.
With the entire group. So, yeah, it is crazy how fast it moved. And I was going to say when I'm home, I was going to look forward to seeing the new Star Wars movie. I know you guys are all big Star Wars fans, and I logged on this morning. Some reviews came in, so I was like, all right, I'll check Rotten Tomatoes. And the score I saw on Rotten Tomatoes is like, oh, no, maybe Uh-oh. I should worry.
Really?
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I'm avoiding.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it.
I'm going Saturday, like, at 7. Because it's really the first time I can go.
Yeah.
And I'm trying like hell to avoid any, but
I didn't read reviews. I saw some tweets about it, just like very generic tweets. I saw some very positive and saying,
yeah, see,
like,
I don't know. Some people are haters
mixed,
on Twitter.
I've seen mixed.
So.
As you're saying this, I'm going to go on Twitter right now and just start muting Rise of Skywalker. I'm just going to mute as many things as possible so I can avoid it.
Good idea.
Here's the thing. With a beloved franchise like this, right? I mean, this is a saga that has literally gone for 40-plus years now, right? From the first movie to The Rise of Skywalker. I feel like no matter what you do, no one's going to love the ending, right? I mean, think about all the beloved TV shows you have, right? Their final episode, like, nobody loves them.
I've never seen a fan base that is impossible to, like, unify. Like, yep. They're always going to be divided. We've seen DC fans unify over how bad those movies were, but we've seen Marvel fans unify over how great the recent MCU movies have been. But, like, Star Wars, for example, just, like, they're never going to agree to it.
Right.
So, like, part of me thought, like, the critics would like a little bit, and, like, the casual fans would be like, hey, it was fun, it was great, it's a great ending, let's give this part of the Star Wars story a break for a bit,
because right.
of the stuff going on in the future. But, nothing they could have done would have made anyone happy.
No one was going to be satisfied with this whole thing. So, that said, I'm going to go see it anyway.
Same.
Right.
On a positive note, The last episode of The Mandalorian just came out overnight. Not the last one, but
most recent one. Yeah.
It was good.
All right.
It's a great show.
Cool.
It was awesome.
It is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Just a heads up, too. I woke up with a little tickle in my throat. So if I sound weird today, that's it. But, you know, we're playing hurt because this is what we do this time of year. So, all right, here we go. Let's do some news.
Through the news.
All right, we will start in Minnesota. The Vikings are monitoring Dalvin Cook's shoulder injury. Now, look, the reports initially out of Minnesota were that, you know, it looks good and that he should be able to play through it. He should be on the field for what is a huge Monday night game against the Packers. Obviously, it's big for both teams. It's big for a lot of teams in the NFC in terms of playoff seeding and that sort of thing. And obviously for fantasy, it's definitely huge as well because there are a lot of really important fantasy assets going in this one. I mean, Fabs, I know they're saying that he's going to be good to go. Pardon me if I'm a little bit skeptical, though, in making contingency plans.
He looked like he was in a lot of pain when he got hurt coming off the field. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that Adam Schefter had even said that he thought Cook would be out for the rest of the regular season.
That was the report.
He did
yes.
say that.
So, I was actually on SiriusXM with Bob Harris and Mike Dempsey yesterday talking about this exact scenario. It's a crappy one if you're a Dalvin Cook owner. It's a crappy one if you picked up Mike Boone. It's a crappy one if you have Alexander Mattison, because you almost legitimately have to have two or three of those pieces right. to start any one of them because it's a Monday night game.
Yeah, I was about to say, oh, by the way, it's a Monday night game, so you will have most likely no idea, unless right. we get word Sunday night that Cook will be inactive or active.
Right. But so, I would imagine they're going to drag this thing out.
Yeah, they will.
I mean, the thing you need to do is, you know, low-hanging fruit scenario here, check the practice reports and see what happens going into the weekend, because if we don't know for sure that Dalvin Cook is out, if we don't know for sure that Alexander Mattison is out, you can't really wait and play Mike Boone. You just can't.
Right. Look, injuries are never fun. Obviously, for the guys that are suffering them, they're awful. For those of us who, you know, sort of play fantasy, it's a mild inconvenience. But man, this is the worst time to have that inconvenience.
I know. Championship. Yeah. I know, and especially with a guy of his caliber.
Right.
I mean, Dalvin Cook's been a beast all year long.
And this is now, you know, the third straight week where Cook has kind of disappointed us, either because of he's been injured or just been, you know, slightly less involved in their offense. You know, he's capped off just an amazing start to the yeah. season. But, you know, the last couple of weeks have been definitely pretty rough if you've been relying heavily on Cook, which he's been dragging a lot of fantasy teams.
So we talked about, you know, like the potential number one overall pick next year. And I think we were talking about Dalvin Cook being in the mix.
Yep.
Is he out of the mix now? Because you're being reminded of his lack of durability.
You know, that is a thing to consider, right? I mean, when you talked about, I mean, obviously Saquon, we only had 1 year worth of NFL resume to go on. You know, Christian McCaffrey's been able to stay healthy. But, yeah, that is a thing to consider when you talk about Dalvin Cook for the top pick next year.
Yep.
Speaking of injuries, the Giants have placed Evan Engram on injured reserve. On Monday, we talked about how potentially loaded this offense could be fantasy-wise. I tweeted out that clip that we had from the pod, and one of the responses I got back was from our pal Charles McDonald, who now covers the Jets and Giants there for up there in New York, and his response was, LOL, no. I responded back, and his basic premise was, you know, it depends on who's coaching this team next year and how this thing sets up. I mean, obviously, he's a guy who, you know, is paid to watch these teams very closely now and certainly is paid to give his opinion on them. But I think the one thing we can say is we never really got to see, I mean, speaking of Star Wars, we never got to see this battle station fully operational. Because, you know, between Engram, Tate, Shepard, Barkley, like these guys were never on the field all at the same time. So we really don't know what this offense can be when everything is right.
No, we don't. And Daniel Jones, was up and down this year, to say the least. Got a hot start against the Bucs, and then, you know, just took a bunch of fumbles and obviously was fairly turnover prone. But yeah, right. he never got to play with any of his guys. You know, he never got to play with the full cast of weapons, and quarterbacks coming into their second year usually take a jump in terms of their, you know, not only their ability, but their understanding of the offense. And I do think, you know, what they're going to do at the head coach spot is huge for his development, because, you know, Shermer, I think, has left a lot to be desired there for New York in his offense the last couple of years.
Yeah, so that's going to be one to see. I know for Evan, it was a frustrating season.
Yep.
He just couldn't quite stay healthy, had a lot of nagging injuries, and now his season is over. Speaking of season over, A.J. Green, not likely.
It never started. How could it be over?
I told you this 12 weeks ago.
Right. Like, I just look at this and like, why? What took so long for us to get here? Right. He says he's not likely to play the final two games. The rest of America says, duh. Because we all saw this.
It's fun watching him play for the Patriots.
And so now that's the question: is what happens here? Like, does he go somewhere else? I don't understand what the Bengals were doing. Right. Like, they didn't put him on IR. They didn't trade him. I mean, that to me says, and Graham, you and I have talked about this just, you know, privately, do they have some level of confidence that they can keep him around this offseason? Because otherwise I don't understand what they did with him this year.
Right, yeah. You know, that's the thing is, you know, he's now an unrestricted free agent after this season. And I'm not entirely sure what the Bengals were doing either. I think this has kind of been the common consensus here. As well as just like Cincinnati could have traded him, they could have put him on IR, and maybe, you know, maybe they tried to save a little bit of money by just keeping him active. But, I, you know, it'll be really interesting to see what they decide to do, because really they left themselves with almost no leverage, because he's an unrestricted free agent after this year. They could they could technically, you know, try to work out a deal long term, and maybe they will if they draft Joe Burrow. I hope they do, because Joe Burrow to AJ Green would be a lot of fun. But
that seems like the consensus right now.
But I think, yeah, you know, we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I also wonder if you are AJ Green, right, and you are coming up on 9-10 years in the league now. Yeah, Joe Burrow has a lot of potential, but do you want to be there to break in a young quarterback? And, you know, when, like, at some point you want to win, right? You want you want a shot at the playoffs. You want a shot to go after a championship. And if you're AJ Green, do you want to stick around and help bring along a young quarterback, and not knowing what your future may be there? So
I will say Joe Burrow just looks amazing.
No, he looks great.
He looks amazing.
Absolutely. But, you know, most young quarterbacks still have growing pains too. So that's something to consider. Juju Smith-Schuster is reportedly taking a smart approach with his knee injury. He right now is listed as questionable. We'll see whether or not he plays against the Jetropolitans this week. I mean, Fabs, what are we doing with Juju at this? If he plays, do you feel confident enough in him working with Devlin Hodges, who is the starter again, to put him in your lineup in week 16? I just don't know.
Yeah, at this point, with the championship on the line, I mean, we'd have to get some really positive reports about him. No snap count limitations, no limitations physically whatsoever. The matchup is clearly, you know, a pretty decent one against the Jets. So it really depends. If he can get in full practices throughout the week, then I think about potentially flexing him. But you're right. Juju hasn't been great this season when he's been on the field. He's been okay. And the quarterback situation leaves much to be desired. So if you were able to get, say, Breshad Perriman off the waiver wire, if you landed A.J. Brown a couple of weeks ago, if you have simply better options than Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, don't consider the name. Consider what he's done this season. And so in those cases, I would sit him.
Yeah, I will say the Steelers have pretty significant, still, it's kind of amazing. They have pretty significant playoff implications here. And they need
to
win. They need to win.
I can't believe.
I mean, they need to win. And this Jets team, I mean, they've been certainly up and down, but the Jets are capable of beating the Steelers. They're, they're capable on paper of beating the Steelers, putting up 24 points.
Hell, I think, in this league, everybody can beat everybody for the most part.
I think at this point we know Devlin Hodges is pretty limited as a passer. I'm trying to put it nicely.
but yet he gives them more options than Mason Rudolph.
He does. He does give them a better option than Rudolph. You'd have to be pretty thin at receiver to play Juju this weekend, though.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
You'd have to be pretty thin.
If you've made it this far, and you have Juju on there, like, you've figured out other options at this point. So there's no need.
You haven't been relying on that production at all.
Any point this season. So there's no need maybe to try to shoehorn him back in the roster, in the starting lineup. The Carolina Panthers expected to start Will Greer this week against the Colts. I know a lot of people are saying it is about time. I also wonder, like, if Will Greer was ready to go, wouldn't he have started before now?
One would think.
One would think, right? But the bigger question here, obviously, no one's starting Will Greer, but can you start either of the wide receivers, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore? You know, if Greg Olsen is back, or Ian Thomas, can you start him? And how much does this impact Christian McCaffrey? It's probably the biggest question. I mean, there are all these other pieces in play here that are affected by Will Greer starting, and how much do we trust them now?
So Greer, to me, in preseason looked like just a total deer in headlights.
Yeah, he was not good.
I mean, he was really bad in the preseason, only played like 130 snaps or something like that, but he did not acquit himself very well, and I think that's probably why they felt comfortable going with Kyle Allen once Cam Newton went down. But yeah, Christian McCaffrey, is as long as Will Greer can throw 4-yard dump offs, I think we'll be good.
So you're not starting DJ Moore this week, though?
But I think you can. I think you
I
can
think
start
he can
DJ
too.
Moore.
He's got to throw it to somebody.
Yeah, and the Colts, you know, this game,
the Colts just got gashed.
The Colts did just get gashed, and the Colts are back at home. They should be able to score in this game and run all over the Panthers to kind of keep the Panthers, you know, foot on the gas and keep them throwing in this game. I think DJ Moore will be fine, but Curtis Samuel's just
I wouldn't play his
floor is so low.
So low.
You know, sneaky good play in this game, the Colts defense.
Yeah.
I agree.
I've got them as an experienced quarterback.
I've got them as a nice streamer this week.
Yep.
Well, a couple of notes that we sort of already know. Chris Godwin. I don't know if he's officially on IR, but he, for all intents and purposes, is done.
I cut him in one of my leagues, and it, like, hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But at this point, he's probably not coming back. It doesn't make sense for him to, so you could probably let him go. The other news, Josh Gordon suspended indefinitely for, again, violating the league's drug policy. So I don't really have much to say on that other than it very well maybe the last time we see Josh Gordon in the National Football League. I know we've said that before, but this time it really might be.
This time is probably it. His last catch was a good one.
It was a phenomenal catch.
It was a great catch.
Yeah.
Quick note, Daniel Jones is taking first-team snaps with the Giants in practice today, which means he's likely to start, which means against the Redskins, suddenly he is a 2QB League Superflex streaming option. Against that bad Redskins defense.
Eli got his career record back up to 500.
They got to stop it there.
Now we're good.
They can't let him play again.
Now we're good.
The only thing that matters, though, 2-0 in the Super Bowl.
Let him end his career.
The Giants fans, right? Right, Eddie?
That's very true.
Yeah.
Let him end his career, at least his Giants career. I don't know what happens next year, but let him end at 500. I even saw people saying, look, if Daniel Jones couldn't go, to play Alex Tanny. just to let it stay at 500. Yeah. So
speaking of that, like Eli, you know, going to the Hall of Fame, and I'm sure he's probably going to end up getting in there because he won a couple of Super Bowls. I saw that Julian Edelman didn't get a Pro Bowl bid. He's not going to make the Pro Bowl. He's never made the Pro Bowl. But people believe that he is a borderline Hall of Famer.
I wonder if there's
any Hall of Famer who has never made a Pro Bowl. I mean, can't be, right?
I can't imagine.
Can't imagine that, right?
I mean,
I can't imagine it either.
Except for what Pro Bowl and Hall of Famers who played before the Pro Bowl existed.
I mean, that's right.
Edelman's definitely not a Hall of Famer, but it's also kind of crazy he's never made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, that's really the wild part. Although, I mean, I'm wondering. Yeah, I guess not. That's weird.
Remember, earlier in his career, he wasn't all that great.
Well, no, because
you know he was like a complimentary piece.
Yeah, he was playing special teams.
But there's a lot of stud receivers out there.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
That's wild. I'm sort of floored by that. Mm-hmm. Man, there you go. All right, that's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right. For those of you who, you know, didn't make it to their championship, no shame in that, certainly. But it's time to look ahead. Time to get ready for next year. Time to see what you may be planning for in the 2020 season. So got a list of guys that you might be considering in some of your keeper leagues here. Mostly running backs and wide receivers. I didn't factor in quarterbacks because, you know, it just doesn't make sense necessarily to keep a quarterback. But I got him here with the round that they generally came off the board in most drafts this year. And you know, we can debate whether or not these guys are worth keeping at that draft price for next season. So the first one, Alvin Kamara. He was a first-round pick. Not only was he a first-round pick, he was a high first-round pick in a lot of leagues. The usage rates have been pretty much the same, right? The receptions, I mean, he's probably on pace to get over 80 catches again this year. Just the touchdown numbers have come down drastically. I mean, he's gone from 31 in his first two seasons to 2 so far this year. I always say touchdowns are fickle beasts. I know we're going to talk a lot about touchdown regression probably or positive regression next offseason when it comes to Alvin Kamara. But with all that hope potentially built into what Kamara can be, Do we dare give up a first round pick to keep him next year?
I probably still would.
Yeah,
I probably still would.
I'm not. This is a good question to have because I know a lot of people out there are going to have a similar debate next year, and I think I would too. It would just depend on what pick you're giving up, right? I mean, if it's a back half of the first round pick, then sure. But at the same time, Kamara has certainly disappointed a lot of people, and I think a lot of people feel pretty burned by it. I mean, only 2 touchdowns this entire year, but they both came in the same game. We've just all been waiting for, you know, the touchdown explosion to happen, and it just hasn't happened. I mean, since he returned from their bye in week 10, the Saints have scored 19 touchdowns, 19, mm-hmm. and Kamara doesn't have a single one. I mean, it's just incredibly unlucky run that he's on here. And, you know, the touches and the yards have kind of been the same. They've been, you know, same scrimmage yard output, same targets that he's getting in this offense. He's clearly their number 2 target. He just has not scored. I think next year the debate will be is if Alvin Kamara is still a first-round pick, and I think I'll be buying heavily if he's not a first
round. If he's out of the first round, yeah, I'm totally on board. Yeah, absolutely on board.
I'd say he's going to be end of the first round.
He definitely is falling in the first round.
Maybe at that turn, that's where you're going to probably end up seeing him going this season. Because I mean, when you look at the position, I mean, McCaffrey's going to be the consensus number one. Mm-hmm. You would think, right?
Then Cook and Barkley,
right? Those guys are going to be up there. Zeke is going to be up there. Michael Thomas is going to be clearly a first round pick.
Derrick Henry.
Deserves to be a first round pick. Nuke Hopkins is still going to be in the mix there to be a first round pick as well. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with the Buccaneers wide receiver situation, but Godwin has got to be in the mix for maybe the end of the first round because he had been that good,
right?
This season, and of course, in home leagues, Lamar Jackson is going to be a first round pick, which is going to be a huge mistake.
That's going to be interesting,
which
right?
It's going to be a huge mistake. There are some people out there who are also probably going to end up taking a guy like Travis Kelce at the end of the first round because, Marcus talked about it on TV yesterday how
That peace of mind, man.
Just having that tight end who is going to produce for you week in and week out. And people are going to want to take him in the first or second round as well. So,
and by the way, Travis Kelce is due for some positive touchdown regression. He's only sitting at four scores.
Only four.
Right now, and mm-hmm. he's just been a beast once again.
Yeah. So that's All right. So next, Leonard Fournette, who was a guy who was kind of coming off the board in the third round. And another one who's getting touches, getting yards, just for whatever reason, can't really consistently get into the end zone. The big change for him this year is that he's catching the football, which is something he couldn't say before.
Yeah.
Third round pick seems like a pretty good price to pay for Leonard Fournette.
Absolutely. It was shocking to me that Fournette was still going in the third round, in the middle of August, like when everybody knew the Jags had nothing else behind him on the depth chart. And we'll see what Jacksonville does in their offseason to kind of get some more depth back there, because I don't think they can roll into the next year with just Rykwell Armstead again. But yeah, Fournette is a third round pick. You're absolutely keeping him. And he's third straight guy we've talked about here between Kamara, Kelce, and Fournette. Due for some more touchdowns. Only has three this year.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because when I drafted Fournette in a lot of leagues, it was funny because he would, especially early in draft season or in mock drafts, he would fall kind of in my lap at the end of the third. I was kind of like, okay, fine. I mean, it's turned out to be okay. Like, I'm not upset about having Leonard Fournette anywhere in any league.
Yeah, if you drafted Leonard Fournette in the third round, I think you've been pretty happy all year long because he's been, the floor has been so, so high with him. He's just an automatic lock for like 12 to 15 points every week. And if he scores, then it's gangbusters.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and watch like all of their like inside the five carries and just see
what went wrong.
Like, what the heck happened this entire year? Because it's just, he's got a ton of them. He's just not been lucky enough to get in the end zone enough.
Yeah, that's I don't know. Again, I say it all. Touchdowns are fickle beasts, man. Like maybe next year Leonard Fournette ends up having 10 or 12 touchdowns. Who knows?
You very well could have had 10 or 12 this year. DJ Chark just took all of them in the beginning.
That's true.
DJ Chark had like 60 in the middle of the beginning of the year.
Melvin Gordon, who I think is going to be a really interesting case next year, right? Because
what team is he?
Right, because he's probably not going to be with the Chargers next year. I think we can sort of kind of agree on that. I was going to put Austin Eckler on this list, but that's a no-brainer considering where you got him and the production that he has put up so far this year. So I felt like, that you'd leave him off this list. But Melvin Gordon, who I put him in round six. I know that his draft price sort of fluctuated depending on when and where you were drafting. But let's just say Melvin Gordon, round six, with no idea where he's going to be, but knowing what he can be when everything works in his favor and when he is healthy and playing well. I mean, I feel like round six for Melvin Gordon is a pretty good deal. There's just so many unknowns going into this, Fabs.
Yeah, no doubt about that. He has the talent to be a first-round pick. He has been a first-round pick. And he was playing at a very high level before this past weekend where he, ended up catching a case of fumbleitis and killed a lot of fantasy owners, including this one right here in their leagues. But if he ends up in the right spot, I mean, dude, he's a three-down back who's going to get goal line opportunities. I don't know where he's going to end up. I always think Tampa Bay needs a running back. Tampa Bay needs a running back.
Right.
Tampa Bay needs a running back. Houston needs a running back also. Although I think David Johnson going to Tampa would be a nice little fit with Bruce Arians, just saying. But based on the talent, as long as he's ending up a team that already has like a really good complementary pass catcher in the backfield where you're worried about a potential committee, I think Gordon is a fine bargain for a sixth rounder.
Here's the thing. So Eckler is also an unrestricted free agent after this year. He only had a 3-year deal in his contract. If the Chargers sign Eckler but let Gordon walk, how early are we taking Eckler next year?
First round. He's a first rounder.
See, I think he'd be in that conversation with Kamara too.
He's got to be.
Absolutely has to be.
He's got to be.
I would think so. I mean, but are we talking early first round or kind of late first round for Eckler?
Yeah, no, late first round.
I don't think you can take him over any of those.
Not for nothing.
Receivers.
Not for nothing. He's the third highest scoring running back in fantasy football right now.
Yeah. Right.
And he's less than what? He's about 13 points behind Cook.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, he's had obviously some huge blow-up games, but he's been fairly consistent. Even once Melvin Gordon came back,
he's giving you double digits. Really
well. Guys, he has 50 or more receiving yards in four straight games. Even with Melvin Gordon in there, he's been a fantastic play.
The Chargers' offense might look quite different, though. I mean, what's going on with Phil Rivers, too?
True. Very true.
Players that have fewer catches than Austin Eckler this year.
I know. I know one of them, and it begins with an O, and it ends with a J.
He's there. Tyler Lockett, Robert Woods, Mike Evans, although Evans got hurt, so kind of put an asterisk next to that one. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Austin Eckler's got 78 catches, man.
He has more catches than every tight end in the league.
Except Darren Waller.
Right?
And Kelsey. Kelsey's
got... No, Kelsey Ertz. I'm looking at Kelsey
Kelsey's
Ertz.
Got over 80 again.
Oh, he does. Waller. Okay. So every tight end except for three.
For three.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that just shows you how...
And it's close, too, with those three.
Yeah. Tyler Lockett, who has had his ups and downs, right? I mean, for anybody... I mean, there are probably lots of people who got bounced in their fantasy playoffs because Tyler Lockett kind of went through a slump here late in the season. Bounced back, obviously, last week, has a good matchup this week. He was a lot of people's pick to have a big season, and for the most part, he has done that. If you're looking at Tyler Lockett, though, and having to keep a fifth-round pick, are you okay with that this year or next year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think absolutely. What other receiver, I mean, Tyler Lockett, when he's been healthy and not had the flu and not, had...
Yeah, he was, super sick, dude. Yeah. I mean, people gotta understand that.
He did, and he had a really bad, shin bruise that he had in that Week 10 game against the Niners. But outside of those, couple weeks, he has been a top 12, top 15 receiver every single week. So if you can keep him in the fifth round next year, I think that's just an auto lock.
All right. I don't really think I have much argument with that.
Yeah, it's DK Metcalf is never going to be a huge target hog.
Right.
Well, who else are they going to add this offseason that would scare you from thinking Lockett's going to get another year?
Well, and I don't, look, I know it's a
20 targets.
I know it's a loaded wide receiver draft this year, but I don't expect that they're going to necessarily go and at least not spend a high draft pick on a wide receiver.
Although that would be fun if they did.
That would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they actually help. Not that Russell Wilson needs a ton of help, but give him a little extra help. Is that terrible? The last one I have on this list, and it's sort of fitting because as we're talking here, a piece of news has just popped.
Yep. And you know which one.
Well, first the piece of news. Dak Prescott reportedly has had an MRI on his right shoulder, and Jason Garrett says it's hard for him to function right now.
I just texted Jane Slater to see.
Which does not seem good.
No.
Especially with the Cowboys having a huge matchup with the Eagles coming up this week. So that seems really bad. But this also ties into Amari Cooper, who was a third-round pick in a lot of leagues. Seems to be the definition of boom or bust, right? I mean, when Amari Cooper has a huge game, it is an off-the-charts huge game. Then he comes back, and he just kind of gives you next to nothing. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, right? Week 5 against the Packers. 11 catches for 226 and a touchdown. The very next week against the Jets, one catch for 3 yards. That is kind of the story of Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. I mean, you love the highs, you hate the lows. Fabs, would you give up a third round pick just to maybe take a chance at that?
I think it's fair. I also think that Amari's not 100%. He had been dealing with some lower extremity issues for probably most of the second half of the season, and when he's failed to put up a big stat line, and I think this is maybe the knock against him, it's been against some of the top cover corners in the league. He had 19 yards against Jalen Ramsey. He had a pretty decent game there against Tre'Davious White in Buffalo. Against Darius Slay, only had 38 yards. So that could be, that could be an issue for him, because when you're talking about an elite level fantasy player, he should be producing regardless of the defender that's opposite him. But with that being said, third round pick to me makes a lot of sense for Amari Cooper, because that's going to be a high end two.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think he's well for a third round pick. I think that's a fair price.
Amari Cooper is a perfect receiver too to pair with you know, like, let's say you get Michael Thomas at number two or number three overall, and you come back and you get Cooper in like the late second or early third round next year, you're loving that because Thomas is the consistent guy and Cooper is just like all or nothing. When he gets that all, like you said, it is.
It's weak winning.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good way to look at it.
But if you're looking at like his tier, like you're looking at Galladay with Stafford back, you know, next season. You're looking at like Allen Robinson and DJ Moore, and, you know, guys like that, and Keenan Allen. I feel like third round is right about where, you know, those guys are going to land next season.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Keenan Allen's another interesting one too, right? If we talk about this Charger offense maybe looking different next year, I mean, I assume Phillip Rivers is going to be back as the quarterback next season, but I mean, another guy who's just kind of highs and lows with this offense, so he's going to be kind of one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, just a quick thing. I got a response from Jane. She said he played through the finger, and now the shoulder's popped up. He doesn't seem to be too concerned. He's a tough dude, and if I know him, he will definitely play Sunday. No issue besides maybe that will force the Cowboys to run the ball a little bit more.
Huh. All right. I was going to say, like, I feel like, yeah, he can be tough, but his shoulder's sort of important to a guy who throws the football.
I know.
But you know.
Man, Dak at less than 100% in this matchup is just, that's brutal. I mean, because the Eagles are just so bad in the
playoffs. I know. I mean, and again, I always say it. They've been tougher at home than they are on the road.
Amari Cooper
defensively.
Amari Cooper has absolutely shredded the Eagles in the past two.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, keep an eye on that. I'm sure that story will develop as the week goes along. So it's going to be one to keep an eye on. All right. Week 16. A handful of guys. If you should be brave or beware based on who they are and who they are facing this week. Got a couple of quarterbacks here. Top of the list. First one, Kirk Cousins, who has been, you know, not bad. A little bit, I don't know, kind of up and down, I guess. But overall, pretty good this year. He's got the Packers in, obviously, which is a huge matchup. Kirk Cousins in prime time. Does that narrative creep into anybody's head?
But I mean, like, people say that, and I get it. Like,
I know he ripped the Cowboys.
Right, he did. And in the last game that he had in prime time, I mean, Stephon Diggs cost him. He would have scored 20 points in that game if Stephon Diggs hadn't dropped some passes. And then there was one pass that Diggs had in his hands. It popped out, and the defender picked it off. So you can't do anything if you're Kirk Cousins there. I mean, you can only, you know, throw the football accurately and hope your receivers can catch it.
That Seattle loss was not on Kirk Cousins. That their defense got just absolutely creamed. I'm not opposed to Kirk Cousins this week.
No.
I mean, I'm not either. There's probably quite a few options out there available that you know, you'd probably feel better about. But, yeah, I'm definitely not opposed to Kirk Cousins putting up like 20 fantasy points this week.
All right. Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Bengals. This is like, isn't this another on the revenge tour?
Yes, it's another revenge game. Now, I will say this. Okay.
The Bengals have been kind of tough, at least fantasy-wise. Like, the numbers don't look good
for
quarterbacks and receivers.
So the Bengals this season have given up the 9th most fantasy points to the quarterback position. But here is where they have given up a bulk of their production. 451 rushing yards to quarterbacks. And the second worst team is only giving up 339, which is the Niners.
I mean,
and they've also given up 5 touchdowns. But
Ryan Fitzpatrick is a leading rusher for the Miami Dolphins.
In rushing. So, like, I would still, like, I'm playing him in one of my leagues, and I think I might play him over Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, you know,
I may play him over Kirk Cousins.
I think I like Fitzmagic just a little bit more than Cousins just because of the rushing. Yep. The rushing has been awesome for him.
Yeah, so here, just for those of you who love NFL history, right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick leads the Dolphins with 219 rushing yards. Okay, now obviously we still have a few weeks left in the season, but that is the fewest for any rushing leader in the Super Bowl era. Now, the leader for an entire season was a guy named Ross Montgomery of the Chicago Bears in 1970.
Leader in air quotes there.
Who had 229 rushing yards, but Fitzpatrick is the only quarterback in the top 5. So
really?
Every other player has been a running back. So Fitzpatrick could be the first player in NFL history during the Super Bowl era, not counting the strike year of 1982, that a quarterback leads his team in
rushing
yards.
This to happen.
I do.
I need this to happen.
I really need this to happen. This is wild.
Miles Gaskin, I hope you rip off a few more big plays the next couple weeks so Patrick Laird doesn't get the title of the Dolphins leading rusher. He's going to need a bunch.
Yeah, you got to look at the stats, though, I mean, deeply, obviously, when you're doing this, because right now, I mean, the Bengals are giving up, they've given 18 touchdown passes, which actually is not a lot compared to a lot of teams. They're only giving up 1.3 touchdown passes. It's the rushing yards that have crushed them. Now, big part of that is they play in the same division with
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Exactly.
So,
I mean, take from it what you will. It's a revenge game. I still think Fitzpatrick's startable.
Another big part of their lack of production in the passing game is just especially in the early in the year, they were just getting absolutely creamed every single week, and everybody was just running against them. You know, teams just take their foot off the gas and didn't have to throw very much. So I do think that skews it a little bit, too. But you're right. Their secondary's played better than expected.
And by the way, two of the three defenses in the league that have given up the most rushing yards to quarterbacks happen to play in the AFC North.
Yeah, well.
Cincinnati and Cleveland.
Yeah, the Browns.
Yeah. Well,
Pittsburgh's been the only team that has made Jackson look mortal this year.
Sometimes it's a function of who you play.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's a function of who you play.
Yep.
All right. You want to talk about revenge games? This might be the ultimate revenge game this year.
Matt Prater against Denver?
Oh, yeah, that one. That's exactly what I was talking about. No.
That's a great one. No?
Le'Veon Bell against the Steelers. And when you talk about... I mean, this is top of the charts, right? I mean, Lev, look, the ceiling hasn't been all that high this year, but really the floor hasn't been all that low either. I mean, you can count on him for 10 to 12 pretty much every single week. It's not pretty, but he's kind of getting you there. So there's that. You know, on the flip side, though, the Steeler defense has pretty much locked down on a whole lot of people. I just feel like, Graham, like... You're not going to find – do you have a better option, right? If you're looking at that flex spot or you're looking at the second running back spot, you probably don't have a better option.
I don't imagine you'd have to be just absolutely loaded to draft Le'Veon Bell in the with your first couple of picks and then still have some really hammer flex spot options. Because you're right. I mean, you know, the touchdowns haven't been there for the Jets, and especially for Bell. Bell's efficiency has been pretty bad all year because their offensive line has been so bad. But, yeah, I mean, he's been fine for fantasy, you know, just 10 to 12 points in almost every game. And it's, you know, I wish we could have seen Bell used a little bit more, like, you know, imaginatively as a receiver this year. I'd like to see him be split out as a wideout or split out in the slot a little more often. But he's still been fine, you know.
Yep.
He's been between 4 and 5 catches in almost every single game. So, yeah, you'd have to be pretty loaded to not play.
Yeah, I feel like if we knew Mike Boone was going to be the guy for the Vikings, I could play him over Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I agree.
But we don't know.
You just don't know.
We don't know.
Do not know. Ronald Jones,
who don't
has
do
been
it.
So hard. He's been so hard to figure, but the matchup against Houston just feels so sweet.
Nope. Can't convince me, Marcus.
I can't do it, man.
Nope.
I can't do it. I know you're a USC homer.
Like, I'm not right,
Marcus.
I'm just asking the question.
He's not even playing featured back snaps.
He's
They're splitting the touches and the snaps between him and Peyton Barber. You know, you got Dare, who's, go ahead, last name.
Ogunbowale?
Thank you. He's in the mix as well. I think the only way that you start Ronald Jones this week is if you deeply believe in your soul that they're going to use him more often as a pass catcher because the Buccaneers have no wide receivers left.
And I just don't believe that.
So
I can't buy that.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it could be a Peyton Barber game. I don't know. But that's why I just don't want to play either one of these guys.
I remember when Bruce Arians called Ronald Jones his starter after that big game against Seattle.
Yeah. We all bought in,
and
right?
And Ronald Jones got, like, what? I don't even know how many carries.
It wasn't many, I don't think.
He got 11.
Yeah, I mean, we all bought into that.
He actually had a good game after that because he caught 8 balls randomly in that game. But then the very next game against the Saints, he had 5 touches. That is Ronald Jones' season in a nutshell. That's Ronald Jones' career in a nutshell.
Yeah, I mean, this discussion went sort of how I figured. But I just wanted to throw it out there because it just, you know, it was a frustrating player in a potentially good spot. I was just curious.
No, when I was doing start 'em and sit 'em, you know, obviously I'm looking through all these matchups and I see, you know, Houston, Tampa, and I'm like, I can't even do it. I can't put him in the start. I can't do it.
Absolutely.
As great as the matchup is, I simply cannot do it.
All right.
I can't do it.
Okay, so then on the other side, right? Good running back in a potentially bad matchup, Nick Chubb against the Ravens. Now, Chubb's biggest game this season actually came against Baltimore earlier in the year, but I also feel like this is a different Baltimore team than what the Browns saw the first time around. My other fear with Nick Chubb is that If the Ravens run out to a lead like they've been doing on teams, does this make this more of a Kareem Hunt game and Nick Chubb is sort of left standing by? But again, I just feel like it's hard to sit Nick Chubb. I just feel like you might be a little bit concerned.
I know. I have him in one league where I'm in the championship. I gotta play him.
Yeah, I think
I gotta play him.
I think you have to play him too. Granted, much different defense. Obviously, the Cardinals are just not as near as talented as the Ravens are. But, you know, the Browns were down that entire game by multiple scores, and Nick Chubb still ran for 17, 127 and a touchdown. You know, I mean, he's clearly their lead guy. I mean, they're only getting Kareem Hunt involved in the passing game, really. And Chubb, I think no matter what, he's going to be, you know, getting the rock on in the running game. It definitely isn't great that his matchup is the Ravens here in Week 16, but yeah, you got to play him, I think.
All right. We sort of talked about this a little bit earlier, but DJ Moore against the Colts, I mean, not exciting necessarily with Will Greer there because we just don't know what Will Greer offers, but you guys sort of felt like you were at least okay.
I mean, I feel like this season we should have learned a lesson, right? In that when an inexperienced quarterback comes in, it doesn't necessarily mean that all of the parts around him are going to just collapse. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, I freaking benched Kenny Galladay when David Blau was playing against the Bears on Thanksgiving, and I lost because of it.
Right.
And I benched Galladay simply because Blau was playing, and it was the Bears, and it blew up in my face. And we've seen these young, and I mean, Kyle Allen came in his first start against Arizona and had a huge game.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, I know, you know, you talk about how he looked in the preseason. It wasn't good, right?
Nope.
But I feel like you can't just simply assume that a guy's going to come in and be crap, because we've seen, especially this year, young guys have come in into big roles and played pretty well.
Yeah, and in theory, you'd hope that Will Greer, you know, having the, you know, 3 to 4 months here of extra prep to kind of get in the offense and learn the nuances of it and get some more reps in practice has hopefully helped. But also, I mean, the Panthers have seen Kyle Allen play for now the entirety of the time, and at no point outside of maybe a couple games has Kyle Allen looked like their future starter, so it definitely doesn't lend itself to much positivity for Greer.
Right, and also keep in mind, too, and people always argue with me on Twitter, but I don't get, a quarterback doesn't necessarily have to have a big game for one or two of his wide receivers to have
exactly.
a big game.
Yeah.
So, like, and DJ Moore, it's not like this guy's, you know, Terrell Owens catching 15 touchdowns in a season. Yeah. All he needs is 6 catches, you know, 80, 90 yards.
And that's what he's been.
And that's what,
week.
I mean,
right.
And you're getting, you know, some games you're getting more than others, but, I mean, his floor has typically been pretty good. So, you know, don't go into this thinking I can't play DJ Moore because Will Greer. Is it a little less sort of, you know, sure of yourself? I mean, maybe a little bit.
Right.
But I'm still playing DJ Moore. Yeah. I have him in a couple of leagues.
Where else,
I have him in my lineup.
Where else is the ball going to go in this offense? You know,
exactly.
It's been McCaffrey and Moore all year long.
Right.
And the ball's going to get to him.
All right. Devontae Parker against the Bengals. We talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick and what he potentially offers, you know, those guys in the secondary for Cincinnati.
Yep.
But Devontae Parker's been so good.
Like, I know.
I feel like I don't want to turn away from him just
Does
no
this
way.
Stat scare you? Okay. The Cincinnati Bengals against perimeter receivers this year have given up 3 touchdowns and the 3rd fewest fantasy points.
A little. I mean, yeah, like we said, they've definitely been a good.
I'm just saying. I mean, like, listen, Devontae Parker's, I mean, he's a top 12 start at worst at wide receiver, but.
Right.
The stats are the stats.
Yeah, they've definitely done a better job than expected, especially without Dre Kirkpatrick all year.
Yep.
For most of the year, but yeah, I think you can definitely still play Parker this week, just because
no.
Targets,
yeah, absolutely.
The targets are always going to be there for Fitz. He loves forcing the ball to his guy.
Yeah.
Graham, you're your stats guy. You want a crazy stat? The Chiefs are giving up the 2nd fewest fantasy points to perimeter receivers this year, but they've given up the most yards per catch to perimeter receivers. Is that wild or what? They're giving up almost 18 a catch to perimeter receivers, but they're giving up the 2nd fewest fantasy points.
So basically, guys aren't scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, they're not scoring.
Exactly. They've only given up 4 touchdowns.
They're getting explosive plays. The Chiefs try to force everything towards the middle of the field, and that's why the slot receivers always do pretty well against
them. Which is why Anthony Miller is a really nice play.
Nice play this week. Yep. I do like him. My last one on this list, Tyler Higbee, who has just been lights out for the last 3 or 4 weeks, going against the 49ers. Now, I mean, the Niners obviously gave up a ton of points to the Saints a couple weeks ago. They let the Falcons kind of move the ball fairly effectively. But, you know, they also locked down on the Rams when they played earlier this season. How do we feel about Higgs this week?
I'm freaking playing him. Dude, he's balling out. I mean, the Niners gave up 2 touchdowns in a quarter, less than a quarter to Jared Cook. So it's not like that defense is impenetrable to tight ends. Listen, Jared Goff, the way that he is playing right now, he doesn't throw it vertically. His thumb is messed up. So what does that mean?
By the way, he says that he's
going to be okay. He should be ready to go for this weekend.
He also stinks this year. Well, so I mean, yeah, exactly. So, no, he's throwing the ball. Short passes. Higbee's getting open underneath. He's a top five play.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, this game, the way the game sort of projects to go, the Niners should get ahead, build a lead, and if they do, the Rams are going to have to throw again.
Yeah.
And if Jared Goff has to throw 50 times again, mm-hmm. Tyler Higbee is going to smash.
Yeah.
Again.
Yep. Simple enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's all I got in this one. So, as this being the last pod we're doing all together before championship week, any words of wisdom you guys have for people out there in their championship games?
So, I went through this last night with Jerry Cantrell because he's in the finals of the AIC League against Jeff Garland, who beat me. Garland beat me. His backfield was garbage. He beat me with Michael Thomas, Lamar Jackson, Allen Robinson, and George Kittle.
That'll do it.
That'll beat me. You should not have a player on your bench that is useless to you this week. Every player on your roster has to have a purpose. And I went through this with Jerry last night because he had a bunch, like he had Matt Ryan on his bench. He's starting Russell Wilson. Jeff Scott, Lamar Jackson. He doesn't need Matt Ryan. Okay. He had, you know, Curtis Samuel. You're not going to play Curtis Samuel. Your opponent's not going to pick him up. Drop him. And what you want to do is you want to go out and look at that opponent's roster and see what they need and put the block on him. Right. Like, if your opponent is rolling with a defense that's got a bad matchup this week because they had a good matchup the previous week, like, for example, the Buccaneers, pick up two defenses. Block him from getting those players. In that case, he could use a wide receiver. He could potentially. So go out and pick up Breshad Perriman. Even if you're not going to use him,
right.
Like drop you know, a second defense that you're not going to use. As long as you're not going to use the player and your opponent's not going to pick him up, he shouldn't be on your roster. Because even if you're not going to play him, you don't want your opponent to get him if he can use him. Every spot on your roster has to have a purpose right now.
Using the waiver wire to like block opponents in the playoffs is one of my favorite things to do. If for nothing else, just to make
other
people mad.
Oh yeah, no,
all the time.
Yeah.
I said on Twitter, sometimes you know, making your opponents and friends mad is its own reward.
Exactly.
My other big piece of advice is just look. There are Saturday games. There are three Saturday games, and there are three Saturday games involving a lot of really important fantasy options.
Good teams.
Don't forget about that, right? Like, we don't have TNF. I know sometimes TNF sneaks up on people and you forget about something. Just because there's no Thursday night game, don't let your guard down. And then, you know, sometime mid-morning on Saturday, you're like, oh, crap, I got to, you know, make some changes. Like, just remember that there are important Saturday games that have to go a long way toward what happens.
Yeah, and that Texans-Bucks game starts at 10 o'clock here in the Pacific Coast. So yeah. That's an early game. My final piece of advice is, like, you know, don't get attached to name value. You know, I know Aaron Rodgers has been very disappointing the last couple weeks. Find a better streaming option that has a higher ceiling than Aaron Rodgers. You know, don't get attached to the guys that like have the, you know, the historical name value. Just because they have a name does not mean they're going to produce. And I get it. It'd be tough to bench Aaron Rodgers in your championship league. But if for whatever reason, like, you know, even Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Tannehill is still out there in your league. While even Kirk Cousins this week, I think mm-hmm. I might even play over Rodgers. Don't be attached to the name value. And don't be afraid to try and find yourself a better ceiling because, you know, guys like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, big name, but just the production has not been there, especially in five of his last six games.
Yeah. Yes, I know that this is especially a tough week. This is a week where a lot of people like lean on these start your studs.
That's true.
To
I will
a point.
Say 80% of the time.
Yeah.
But then there's a few times with like guys like Aaron Rodgers who are no longer studs that people still think are studs.
And I think that's the big key. That might be something we talk about in the offseason, yeah. Right? Is like, what are the warning signs when a guy is no longer a stud?
Fake
right?
studs. Like, do a whole segment on fake studs.
Right. Like how sometimes we just get attached to the name. I said it before the season. We talked about Aaron Rodgers. And I know some people had him as the QB1 potentially to draft. And I was like, that feels like muscle memory, right? We're just so used to having him there.
Right.
That muscle memory says, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, just put him in there. And
Aaron Rodgers is going to be a very late round pick next year.
He is. He's
going
to be a late round pick.
You would think.
Right?
Yeah.
Which, you know what?
Unless people aren't paying attention and they just see the name.
If you got this Aaron, I mean, he's right now, what is he, the QB8? If you got this Aaron Rodgers season as a 10th, 11th round pick, you're fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you are, though, because two of his biggest games came against the Raiders and the Giants. He had nine touchdowns in those games, yeah. Right? He has 24 scores in the entire year.
And so nine in two games.
So nine came in 2 games. I mean, he's just been so meh.
Yeah.
And not even meh.
He's been all or nothing, really.
But
he's had some huge games and a lot of stinkers.
You're certainly not happy with this as a fifth round pick. As a 10th or 11th round pick, I think you can justify it a little bit more.
I just went on Twitter and Rotten Tomatoes is trending. God darn it. I got to stay off.
Yeah, I just I had to mute the hashtag. So
can you show me how to do that?
I will.
Yeah, please.
All right. That's it. We are done. I'm going to go teach Fabs how to use a TweetDeck or something like that. we appreciate you listening and downloading. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, they call it a selfie because narcissisty is too hard to spell. We'll see you on Friday.